You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. Today, I'm super excited because my good friend Louise is here to talk to us about SEO. Get your SEO sorted. But what is SEO? Search engine optimization. And why should hair and beauty salon owners care about this? Because if you want any of your clients or your potential clients to find you, you need to have a good relationship with Google. Google needs to know that you exist, how to find you, and make sure it can rank you on the first page so any potential customer can find you. So Louise is going to take us through getting your SEO sorted. It's totally not technical. It's all things that you can do or very easily explain it to your web person to make sure that your customers can find you. Let's jump straight into her interview. Hey Louise, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Awesome to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Larissa.
So I'm going to start with just sharing how we know each other. So Louise and I worked together for 2 years at Timely Salon Software, and we were part of a very early startup group, and we were in the digital marketing department, which meant that we worked together quite a lot. And Louise and I traveled to Hair Expo and the Beauty Expo, and we did lots of cool stuff together, didn't we, Louise?
Yep, great times.
So Louise left Timely around the same time that I did to start her own company, and is now a digital marketing consultant for small and medium businesses. So why don't I let you tell us a little bit about your background, how did you come to work for Timely Salon Software, and tell us a little bit about what you do now in your own business.
Sure. So I own a company called Hooked on Marketing. And as you mentioned, I help small to medium business owners basically identify marketing tactics that will serve them, which means that choosing the right marketing tactics that will allow you to scale your business at a fast rate. And often I find this means doing the simple things really well. Mm. One of those things that you need to do well if you're an online business or a local business is to be found on Google. And so that's one area that I specialize in. It's an area that I specialized in while at Timely, and through working for the early stage startup, we managed to get Timely on the first page of Google in pretty much every major market internationally, which was a huge achievement.
It was a huge achievement, really, for a brand new startup that just grew at a massively rapid pace at the time that we were there, right?
Yeah, and one thing that I really noticed is that the traffic that came in from that organic, from those organic search engines was really good traffic, like it was really relevant. And that's a big part of search engine optimization, actually, is making sure that there's relevant traffic hitting your website, because if you have traffic coming to your site, that doesn't actually matter, it's just going to bounce. And that's no good for anyone. So if you actually want to turn your website visitors into buyers, or in a salon environment, that would be people booking,
yeah,
then you need to make sure that traffic's right. And if you can match what people are searching for and they're actually searching for you, and you're able to make that connection, then you're winning, basically.
Yeah. So it's more than just getting onto the right, onto the first page for search terms. It's getting onto the right search term pages, so you're attracting the right people to your business, yeah?
Yeah, totally. So you've got to make sure that you're optimizing your website around keywords that are actually relevant to your business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than choosing just a random keyword and then ranking for something that's not actually matched to what they're wanting to find.
Yeah. So this word SEO or search engine optimization is a bit of a pet favorite of mine, because when I had my salon, we had exceptionally good SEO and we had a fantastic company that looked after our website. And it was, I have to say, it was one of the main one of the big reasons that we were hugely successful, because there was always a stream of new people finding us. So when I sold my salon and started to work in the digital space, it was one of those things that I really wanted to nail, to understand how does SEO work? What is SEO? Why is it important to me? Why should I care? And I was a recipient of good SEO, but then I wanted to know deeper. And it's what led me to work for a website company who specialized in SEO. So I've always had this sort of fascination around it. And it was one of the reasons that I wanted to bring you on the show, Louise, because I think without this important ingredient, you can have the best, flashiest looking website, and it can have all the latest photo shoots and beautiful photography, and all your beautiful team on there. But if nobody's arriving at your website, it's all wasted.
Yeah, totally. And that was kind of part of my journey at Timely as well, because I was the first marketing hire. I knew there was going to be a really strong kind of online marketing aspect of that role compared to not so much print or that kind of like offline marketing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had everything at our fingertips, social media, advertising, like paid advertising and SEO, and basically tried everything that we could within the budget that we had. So at that time, also a very small budget.
Yeah.
We had to make the most of every marketing dollar that we had. And to me, the SEO got delivered results that, you know, you can spend all your time making sure that everything looks amazing, like creatively on social media, and, you know, you can do some really cool PR and all of those things, but quite often it's a huge amount of work and you don't get massive results. You know, like with social media, you have to update it every single day.
Yep.
You have to constantly be thinking about new content, like content marketing. You've got to, there's so much creative energy that goes into that. And it's great. And I love that type of marketing as well. But the best thing about SEO is that in terms of how much work you have to do, you kind of have to do the work once. And
like
you said, with your salon, if you get into that top spot in Google, like you are going to beat all your competitors. It doesn't matter how good your social media is. You know, like, it doesn't matter if you go away on holiday for a week and forget to post on social media, like your business isn't going to fall over. With SEO, because that listing is much longer term than any other form of marketing, really.
Actually, I like how you've presented that in terms of results for input. You know, it's high output for low input. Whereas social media, like I've seen some amazing campaigns come together and some salons are doing awesome with that, but you're right, it's high constant work that you have to keep doing and keep creating more. Whereas with good SEO, you get it right and you keep an eye on it, and it's actually, you don't have to constantly be reinventing the wheel, is what you're saying.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's where a lot of small business owners fall over, is because it's overwhelming, the amount of stuff you have to do every day to technically, you know, do what everyone says you're meant to be doing when it comes to marketing your business. But, you know, when you're a busy owner of a company, you don't have time to do all of that. So it's about making smart decisions. And I think making sure that you're ranking on Google should be a top priority when it comes to marketing.
Okay, well, that's a good segue to go into. You've got some tips for us about, why it's important, what should we be doing to make sure that we're found? Because let's face it, everybody, when you need to know something, where do you go? You go to Google. So you need to have a good relationship with Google, as I say sometimes. So I know you've got some good tips with us, and you were kind enough to come and present a module in my social media and marketing course, Turn Likes into Bookings, and you gave us some awesome content around that. So it'd be great if you could share some tips that salon owners can go away with today and improve their search engine optimization.
Okay, brilliant. So I'm going to be talking specifically about local SEO, and local SEO is a little bit different from just regular SEO or search engine optimization, because it is for businesses that have a physical location that people like physically walk into off the street. So you wouldn't use local SEO if you're an online business, for example, but every salon is a physical business with a location. So the tips that I'm going to be talking about are specifically for that. And it's so important because mobile has become such a big part of our lives in the last few years.
Yeah.
And there's been an explosion in search queries on Google with near me in the keyword that people are searching for. So I actually think hair salons near me is one of the biggest search terms with the near me. So, you know, like if you're trying to get in front of a market that you haven't tapped into yet, you know, like you've got your regular clients that come in every 6 weeks or whatnot, but you're trying to expand your client base, a good way of doing that is actually being one of those people that pops up when people are searching for, you know, like hair salons near me. You know, of course you're going to be competing with all the other salons around you. So how do you make sure you're actually actively doing something to better yourself, to make you better than the next best option, which is the other salon down the road?
Yes. Good question.
Yeah. So the first thing I'd definitely recommend you do is have a Google My Business listing.
Yeah.
And if you don't have this, then I'd definitely go and get one. So 44% of business owners actually don't claim the Google My Business profile, which means it kind of just sits there and there's no information relating to the company, or potentially it's not even there at all. So what you can do is you can just search the name of your salon in Google.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right-hand side of the search, there should be a box with a map showing your location and some pictures and information. If you haven't claimed it, it will say claim this business listing, and you just click on that and set it up.
Oh, great. Cause that was my next question. How do I, you know, what do I do next? So, okay.
And if you do already have it, then it's going to show up there. But what I want you to do is make it look good and make sure that you've kind of crossed your T's and dotted your I's, so to speak. So, you know, like jump in there, the address that you go to is google.com/business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you actually manage your listing in there.
Right.
You want to make sure that your category is actually set to hair salon. You want to make sure that your address is 100% accurate.
Mm.
Because this address actually then, like once you've set up the Google My Business listing, it actually then appears in Google Maps. So, you know, you can imagine if someone who's a first-time client, they've made an appointment with you, they're not really sure where they are. They jump in their car and they're in a rush. Maybe they're running a little bit late and they need to put in their phone your business name, and you don't come up in Google Maps, then they're going to have to go back and to normal Google and Google, you know, find out your actual physical address and then go back to Google Maps and put that in.
Yeah, that's actually a pain. I remember doing that with I'm often in a rush. And that just does not work. I have this saying, you know, make it easy to do business with you. That's not making it easy to do business with you.
Yeah, and you might not think, well, that's not really going to gain me clients, but it is providing a good experience.
Yes.
And, you know, it's going to save them time so much easier. I'm the same as you, Laura, so I'm always jumping in the car. Thinking, oh, my God, where is this place? You know, and it helps people, you know, that have maybe just moved to town. They haven't been going to you for years. They don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Just make it a good experience, and it starts with that kind of thing.
And I really like that you've talked about make it a good experience with your brand, because that actually, that brand experience starts way before they get into the business.
Yeah,
and I think
exactly.
we forget that, right, as a business owner sometimes, I think.
Yeah, I actually think that SEO does tie in with branding a lot, and not many people talk about that. But if you were to search a business name and you came up with a really ugly looking search listing in Google, it doesn't give you a good impression right from the start. So
yes,
that is important. Another thing actually in the Google My Business listing that you can do to be more on brand is you can upload your own images.
Right.
So there's different categories and you can add images to each one. I would recommend making sure that you have good quality images uploaded to every single category. And one of those is pictures from outside of the salon.
Okay. So you can control that, yeah?
Yeah. So what happens if you don't actually provide your own, is that Google just automatically generates one from, you know, how they have those little cars driving around with the cameras that take everything, and like they're usually like really dark, dingy photos, but this is going to show on your, when someone Googles your brand. So, you know, if you can get a photographer and get them to take some nice shots from outside your salon as well as inside, then you can add that and kind of dictate what Google is showing to people.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. That certainly is going to help in the selection process when you're looking at several different to differentiate you if your branding starts right there.
Yeah, exactly. Another big thing in the Google My Business listing is opening hours. So you can be quite detailed about the hours that you're open. And when someone actually Googles you, is if you're closed, so it's Sunday, it's actually going to say closed today in red.
Yeah.
Or if they search late at night. So the general consensus is that they're going to say, if someone's searching for a more general term, like they're not searching your brand, so they've searched hair salons near me, the ones that are more likely to come up are ones that are actually open.
Yes.
So if you've got better opening hours, like extended opening hours compared to your competitor, you've got a higher chance of showing up. You also don't want, it comes back to that brand experience as well, you don't want incorrect opening hours. So maybe it says that you're open on Saturday mornings, but you actually decided 3 months ago, I'm not going to do Saturdays anymore. So someone might drive across town to maybe pick up some products or something like that, and then they get there and you're closed.
Yeah.
That's really going to annoy people. So as well as just making sure that it's, you know, you've actually put the opening hours in there, make sure that if you do make any changes to those opening hours that you're actually jumping in and changing it, because a lot of these listings do get neglected and they're quite out of date.
Yeah.
But they're also one of the first things that people look at when they look online for your business.
Yeah, I think there's just, there's some gold in what you've said there and the reasons why that's so important.
Yep. Exactly. And of course, having this Google My Business listing, you're not only telling your potential clients where you are, you're also telling Google.
Yes. Yeah. So I like to say that, you know, your relationship with Google is really important. you actually need to think about actually having a relationship with Google and what that looks like.
Yeah, I really like that actually. I think, yeah, that's bang on, Larissa.
Okay.
So my next point is I'm talking about a thing called NAP, which is an SEO term, but it actually just stands for name, address, and phone number. So it's quite basic. A lot of people tend to bury that on their contact us page.
Yes.
But, you know, like when you're a local business, you know, when you're a salon, your location is vital. It should be on every single page. And I like to tell people to put it in the footer so that it does appear on every single page.
Yep.
Make sure it's correct. Make sure it's the same as the Google My Business listing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have an old address in one, then Google's sitting there going, which one is right? I'm not really sure. Okay, I just won't put them in the search engines and I'll put their competitor up ahead of them.
Okay, that's, you know, that's such a little thing, but it's such a huge thing to recognize for those of you that are listening, that when Google is confused, when you're confused, you lose. When Google's confused, it doesn't choose one or the other. It chooses none and puts somebody else ahead.
Yeah,
I think that's really important.
Yeah, someone that has spent the time making sure everything's up to date.
Yeah. Okay, good tip.
Yeah, it's like kind of online hygiene, I guess you could call it, just making sure that everything is perfect. So if you've only got your contact details on your contact us page, I'd highly recommend get it out of there, get it on every page, make sure it looks good, because sometimes it can be quite hard to format addresses to look nice. But, you know, if you've got a website designer on hand, get them to make it look good. I'd recommend making sure you got your phone number on there, because obviously that's how people get in touch with you, especially if you don't have online booking.
Yeah.
And I also recommend also add your opening hours to your footer as well.
Okay, that makes sense.
And again, make sure they're the same as the Google My Business listing.
Yeah, I actually, in the course module that you took for us in the course, you actually said that and it really struck me and it stuck with me how often, well, you think your address is your address, right? But how often that can be mistaken or miscopied or different versions of, and actually not to take that for granted. Because it sounds so obvious and basic, but in fact, there's a huge run rate of people not having that right.
Yeah, because the thing is that Google operates by keywords, and if the keywords are different in different places, I mean, that applies to an address as well.
Yes. And also, Google's only a computer. It can only read letter by letter, alphabet by letter. You know,
it's a robot.
It can't differentiate and say, oh, well, those are similar. They must be the same. Doesn't think like that.
Exactly. So make things super simple for Google.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll have an advantage there. Now, there's also places online that you can appear, like online directories. Maybe you're in business groups and you've got your business listed on there as well, and it shows your location. Again, make sure it's consistent. So make sure the same address as the website and the Google My Business listing.
Yeah.
Because even that can cause a bit of confusion if perhaps you've moved, sell on location at any point. This is especially important.
Yes.
So go and have a look at this and make sure. And I can give you a little bit of a wee snippet of what they can search for in Google for you to put on the in the show notes to show how to actually search for what where you're actually listed with your address.
Okay, perfect. That'll be really useful.
Cool. Yep.
Thank you for that. You did mention online booking, and you said, you know, of course, online booking if you have it. Can I just double down on that and say you need to have it? There's no excuse now for not having it. You know, we do our weekly shopping online, we buy our clothes online, we book our travel online. You need to have online booking if you don't have it. So just a wee plug for online booking.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, if you're going to put effort and even invest in SEO, then you want to make sure that by the time that right person hits your website that they can actually take action.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Contact us forms don't convert.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, so I think I'm on the same page as you, Larissa. Online booking is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is always going to be the people that want to talk to a human, and that's fine. So you've got to have your phone number, but there's it's ever increasing the number of people that just want to operate right now when it's convenient for me. I always remember learning the statistic that, and it struck me because, so here in New Zealand, we have a program called Shortland Street. It's kind of like prime time. I haven't watched it since I was a teenager. It's on at 7 o'clock. Can't believe I'm talking about Shortland Street, but bear with. So it's kind of like this, you know, half hour thing that's on 5 days of the week. And they have, two or three ad breaks, I guess. And online banking has a massive surge spike in the ad breaks of this Shortland Street program. And I thought, now that's really interesting because it kind of highlights the behaviour that how we behave now. You know, the ads, we go and put the cup of tea on in the ad break and we check our banking, or we make an appointment, or we check Facebook, or we message somebody. That's how we operate now. So you kind of need to be digitally present.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And like those, for me personally, when I'm not working and I'm sitting there watching TV at night, is actually when I make appointments. And
totally.
I will choose businesses with online booking.
Yeah.
Over and above ones that don't, simply because of the convenience.
Well, our days are busy and then we have to cook the dinner and put the kids to bed, and then finally at 9 o'clock you put your feet up, and that's when you start thinking about yourself and your wax and your haircut and whatnot.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Okay. What else do we need to do to nail it on local SEO?
So there's one more point I want to make. So one of the biggest factors to rank in Google, whether you're a local business or not, is to have good backlinks pointing to your site.
So what's a backlink?
So a backlink is a link from someone else's website that's pointing towards yours.
Mm-hmm.
They're also called inbound links.
Yep,
so basically the way that Google works is it operates off a thing called PageRank, and this has been around since Google first came about. And the biggest indicator to Google that a website is important is if lots of other websites are pointing to it. It's like online popularity, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I like that. But so online popularity is more than just, it's a bit like social liking in a way, but we can't see it.
Yeah. So unfortunately what happened over the years is that everyone knew that Google ran off this PageRank thing. So lots of kind of SEO companies jumped in and, you know, said buy links here and built a lot of dodgy links.
Yeah.
But Google picked up on this and rolled out some updates to the algorithm. And I'm sure you all know that Facebook, you know, we always have updates to the algorithm and social media as well, and it can drive you a bit nutty. But Google does this as well, but they do it to actually get rid of spam.
Yeah.
Or like spammy links. So we want to have good authoritative links pointing to our website rather than buying a whole lot from like Russia or India. They're actually going to do way more damage than good.
Yeah.
But what we want, particularly if we're a local company, is to have links from within our area pointing towards our website.
Okay.
So, yeah, there might be like a blog. You know, like you quite often see like local blogs popping up, like things to do in the area, and they'll feature businesses, or, you know, you'll have like a town and they'll have economic development type stuff happening.
Yeah.
Like think about how you can get featured. So it's kind of a little bit of PR as well, but you'll get a link from that as well. And even if you don't necessarily think it's going to get you a lot of customers, it is still worth it for Google's sake.
Yes. So I'm glad you go through some those examples. So, for example, a local directory is talk, or the local newspaper is talking about things that are going on in the area, and you might feature yourself. You even might have an ad on there, right? The key is what you're saying is the key is to have a link from that article that when somebody clicks on it, a link is really something that somebody clicks, right? When they click on it, they'll end up on your website.
Yeah. Totally. Perfect. And you can also, you know, like maybe there's local business groups that you're involved in that have a like directory where you'll have a profile on their page, and then there'll be a hyperlink through to your page.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even if there's local directories like for hairdressers, like these are the salons in the area, make sure you're on those and make sure that you've got that link heading back to your website. They're all going to help. Yeah. And, you know, everything else remaining equal between you and a competitor, if you've got more links than them,
yeah,
and they're relevant links and they're local to your area, you are going to beat them.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's really valuable information there. It's kind of, it's hard to get your head around that you need other people talking about you and having a click-through link from their site to your site. And that can feel hard, but it is definitely worth and valuable. So what about things like, directories, what's the big red one? Why has it gone out of my brain? That you can list your business on and points back. You can click through to your website.
Do you mean like kind of like Yelp? And
yes, Yelp, that's the big red one I was thinking of. Are those worth getting involved in? Do you recommend that?
Yes, definitely. Most people will kind of automatically be on them anyway, because I find that with a lot of those online directories, they'll actually scrape the internet and then automatically create one as well. So you may as well be in control of it. Usually you have to go on and claim your listing.
Yeah.
Kind of like you do with Google My Business. But through that search, you know how I said give you that wee snippet that you put into Google, you're actually going to come up, find where you are listed. And you might be thinking, but I didn't put that on there, but it's been scraped. So you need to kind of claim your listing and make sure that you add all the right details and that your address is correct. So that's all going to help make sure that everything is correct everywhere on the internet in regards to your business.
Because it's helping Google find you.
Yeah, totally.
It's giving a pathway, or as I like to call it, lily pad stepping stones towards your website so Google can actually find you.
Yeah, exactly, because Google wants to give the person searching for something the best possible result.
Yeah.
And with salons, you know, it's all about being local. They want to give them the best result that's close to them where they are, especially if they're searching for words like near me or nearby in their search terms. Google is on a mission to give them the best result they possibly can.
Yeah.
So you've kind of got to play ball with Google, I guess.
Yes. And like you've sort of said several times, is make sure that your listing is the best that it possibly can.
Yeah, make sure it's up to date. It comes back to, you know, that hygiene, like make sure that everything is representing your business in the best way possible, just like you would with any other form of marketing.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So is this something that a salon owner can outsource and get somebody to do professionally for them?
Yes, definitely. So there are a lot of SEO companies out there. I used to do done-for-you SEO, but I no longer do it, unfortunately. But
you do teach people how to do this well.
Yeah, so I do have an online course called SEO Sorted, which teaches small business owners with little to none technology how to actually DIY their own SEO.
Yeah.
And I actually think when it comes to SEO, knowledge is power. So the more you know about SEO, even if you're not going to do the do yourself, there are a lot of cowboys in the SEO industry. There are a lot of people, I'm sure you've had unsolicited emails from people in India and stuff saying, I'll do your SEO for $5 a month. And all of that. Definitely do not go down that path. But you know, the more you know about this area, the more equipped you are to actually find the right person to do it for you.
Yeah.
Or you could even learn how to do it and get your VA to do it or an assistant. A lot of people who have taken my course have actually learned how to do it, but then they've got their assistant to actually do, you know, take the actual actions.
Yeah. I think you're right in saying it's like knowledge is power. Learn to know what to do, why you should do it, what does a good job look like, and then as a business owner you can't wear all the hats, so delegate. Get somebody to do it.
There are lots of SEO companies out there that are good at what they do, but it's about getting possibly testimonials from other happy customers, get them to show you some results, and you have to kind of click with them as well, I think, because SEO is something that you could have on the, you know, in the background happening over a long period of time. So, just be really wary of people that can't show you results and that are possibly offshore and want to buy links. Never ever let someone buy links for you, because more often than not, you'll probably have to hire an SEO company to come and fix it.
Now, I'd really like you to shortly to share your, how people can find you and do your course, for example, and just sort of get in the know. But before we do that, can you just give us a little 10 cents worth of AdWords, actually paying for AdWords, Google AdWords?
Right. So I'm actually a Google partner. Mm-hmm. Which means that I qualify for the, that I do. I manage quite a lot of Google AdWords for people and have a required minimum spend, which gives me that status with Google. I love AdWords. I think that not enough businesses are using them. Obviously, it does compete with SEO.
Yeah.
But if you can get yourself in a position where you're ranking, your ad is actually outranking your competitors, it can be really lucrative and the return on investment can be really high.
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of, it's another topic altogether to SEO.
But in saying that, if you were right at the top with a Google AdWord and you were also in position 1, 2, or 3, would that be a bad thing?
No, you're dominating, which is what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like some people say, why would I need an ad when I'm number 2 on Google?
Yeah.
For example, well, you're not number 1.
Yeah.
The number one listing gets pretty much all the clicks.
Yeah.
So, you know, and some people say, well, I am number 1. But, you know, there's all this other stuff, like there's the Google 3-pack, which is the maps, and it shows 3 different businesses. Say if you go, here, salon's near me, it'll show the Google local 3-pack first, but the ads will actually show above that.
Yeah.
Whereas the organic, like number 1, 2, 3, et cetera, listings will show underneath.
I think the word that I like the most is dominate. Why not dominate and gain as much of the traffic share as possible? I mean, traffic is just people clicking, right? So why not have the most people clicking and visiting your website?
Exactly. And it's just going to help with getting more clients into your business at the end of the day. So exactly, why not?
Absolutely. Okay, well, look, I think there's been that's been jam-packed of to-dos and how to dominate dominate Google, so I really love that.
Yeah.
But you yourself, Louise, are a business owner in your, you know, in your own right and run your own business. What is something, a business quote or a mantra that you have that keeps you going as a business owner?
Well, I love a quote from Marie Forleo, which is, everything is figure-outable.
I love it.
Yeah, because there are so many challenges and they never end, really, running your own business.
Yeah.
Full of challenges every day. And I think, you know, as business owners, we are probably the type of people that love challenges and love figuring things out. But especially, you know, like, because I am a digital marketing consultant and I deal quite a lot with techie stuff, a lot of people kind of freak out with the technical stuff and think it's over their head. And I've just seen over and over again, though, that if you just slowly and work through everything, you can figure it out. Like, even if you're not a techie person, you can figure it out. It is doable, and you're going to be really happy with yourself when you do figure it out.
Absolutely.
I love that one.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, actually. That's good. It's a good one to remember when you're feeling overwhelmed and stressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What about a book, a webinar, or a podcast, or something that's really resonated with you lately that you recommend to other business owners?
So I love the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Yep.
And the reason I love it is because often it's not the tools or the marketing tactics that it is actually holding us back, but it's our mindset and also our own fear of what might happen if we do something. And I love this book because it simply eliminates fear and makes you realise, well, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's really important to remember that, because at the end of the day, you can be doing all the marketing, all the things, but, you know, you may not have enjoyment in your business or anything like that. And I think as a business owner, it's vital that we have the right mindset.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. I haven't actually read that book. I see it everywhere often. It obviously is telling me to read it because I do see it a lot. It's got a beautiful, colourful cover. But I do agree that mindset and fear, and it's not always fear of what might happen badly, but if there's even fear attached to success.
And
I think it really is. We get in our own way, I think, as business owners.
Actually, I think you did touch on something there, is that a lot of business owners, like, because I work consulting, like helping people figure out their marketing, but then they'll never do it, and it's because they're blocked. They actually are scared of success.
Yeah.
Or just putting yourself out there.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a big one in today, you know, because you need to visibly put yourself out there. That's a real, there's a big block around that for those that don't feel comfortable.
Mm.
But hey, it's figure-outable.
Exactly. I kind of like to talk about the marketing mindset, because if you don't have the right mindset around marketing, then you're not going to do all the things that you could well know how to do.
Yeah.
But you're actually just not going to take action unless you're in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, agree. That's often why people end up with a business coach.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that before, the value that brings around mindset. And taking action. Anyway, we digress. We could talk about that. It's another whole topic. It's another whole podcast.
Yeah.
But look, I really appreciate you coming and sharing that awesome detail of what to do, how to make sure that we show up and dominate on Google. So I really appreciate your time, Louise. So why don't you share with us now, how can people find you, find your website, and also learn more about the course that you run?
Okay, so you can find me at www.hookedonmarketing.com, and you can also find me on Facebook under the same name, and I also run a free 5-day challenge about SEO, which is called SEO Your Website in 5 Days. You can sign up for the waiting list, and next time it runs, you can jump on that if you like. It's free, and you can actually do a whole lot of this work around SEO in 5 days.
Fantastic. So let's put that on the show notes so we can find it easily, hey?
Yep, sounds great.
All right, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
That's been great being here, Larissa. Thanks.
Thanks, Louise. So there you have it. Heaps of tricks and tips to put into action for you straight away. But if managing your website or getting started with your whole web presence feels like a huge mountain, then I want to invite you to join the Salon Owners Collective Hub. It has plenty of resources you need to help you in your social media and salon website arena to fast track your business success so you can fully book out your salon, grow and retain a team of rock stars, and earn more, all while leaving a little bit of space for you still to have a life. So come and join me at www.salonownerscollective.com, and I look forward to seeing you inside the hub as well as on the podcast next week. Ciao for now.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.